Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
And welcome inside the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli is stuck in traffic. He'll be here shortly.
I was in that traffic. Man. I don't know what happened. There was like a wreck off of the Hart Bridge coming towards town. And I was on that expressway coming off of Emerson for an hour. Literally an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm on the bridge for probably half an hour of that and just sitting there staring at the stadium, looking at the clock back and forth going,
uh-oh.
All right, can we get the wreck moved or something?
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's flowing now. And okay. So I was among many other people that was just sitting there going, what in the wide world of sports is going on?
Well, there you have it. We'll get to Tony on the phone coming up if he's not going to get here in time. Also, Pete Banaszak will join us over the phone line. A former Oakland Raider, former Jaguars Radio Network analyst, of course.
Did a great job in the postgame.
And we'll get thoughts from Pete on the passing of Kenny Stabler. That came out about an hour ago from the Tuscaloosa News. We'll talk about the importance of fingers to a defensive lineman, a couple of fireworks injuries over the 4th of July holiday in the National Football League, and practices open to the public. The announcement from the Jaguars earlier this week that 10 practices will be open to the public this training camp. Let's go to the phone line now. The breaking news today, Kenny Stabler has passed away, the former Oakland Raiders quarterback. And a teammate of Kenny Stabler's with those Oakland Raiders was Pete Banaszak. He's known well here in Jacksonville. Pete, how are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Doing good, Pete. And, boy, I'm sure a tough day for you, a guy that you were very close with, roommates, in fact, with the Oakland Raiders. What's your greatest memory of Kenny?
Well, I tell you, I'm really saddened. You know, I just learned about it a couple minutes ago from Joe, and it's disheartening. It really is. Kenny was a great guy. One of the great competitors, and a guy that lived hard, played hard off the field, but no harder player, a big player on the field as there was Kenny. I mean, you always felt we were never done, until he throws the last ball, and Kenny won a lot of football games for the Raiders, and I roomed with him there. Me and Biletnikoff and him roomed together in training camp for 12 years, and it's hard. I guess there's so many great moments, to talk about Kenny. I mean, great comeback games like the Heidi game. The Holy Roller game. He had so many great games, and probably one of the thing about Kenny, he was so accurate. He could, if you wanted the ball in the ear hole of your helmet, he'd put it there. If you wanted between your numbers, between the 3 and the 4, he'd put it right there. I mean, he was a great football player and a great person. A lot of times people misunderstood him, but he just was a simple old country boy from Alabama that liked to have fun.
Pete Banaszak is with us. Pete, what kind of a roommate was he, and did you guys get any sleep in training camp?
Well, there's a lot of times, Kenny didn't really go to sleep till later in the night. he kind of, he said he always was a late guy that, kept late hours, but there were some funny stories about Kenny. Bed checks, I remember a few times Kenny didn't want to go, you know, didn't want to go to sleep, and especially in training camp. And did you ever hear the story about the lights?
No,
no.
Well, there was a time when Kenny wanted to go out after bed check, which was 11 o'clock, and he was always pretty good at, you know, rolling the pillows up and putting them in his bed and putting his two sneakers down at the foot of the bed and taking the lamp between the two beds and put it in the bed and pull the covers way up over so he looked like somebody was in there. He was really good at it, and he did that one night and went out, and Madden always took bed check because he never trusted assistant coaches to take it because he was kind of concerned that, you know, there was some guys were buying off the assistant coaches. You know, guys didn't make a lot of money back then. Anyway, one time, I'll never forget, I was fast asleep, and I heard Madden footsteps coming up the sidewalk, and because I could tell it was him because he never tied his shoestrings in his shoes and he was dragging his feet. I could hear him dragging on the cement. And he put the key in the door and opened the door and turned the light switch on, and the Stabler's bed lit up. and it's a true story. It happened right before my eyes, and Madden looked, kind of came in and looked around and turned the light off and walked out. And the next day at practice, we were all huddled up, the whole team, and we always got our agenda, what we were going to work on for the day. And by the way, Madden said at the end of the speech, his speech, he says, by the way, I took a double bed check last night. He says, Stabler, I walked into you, Banaszak, and Biletnikoff, and it was like a barracks in our room. And he says, your bed lit up. You know, and he says that'll cost you $1,000, and and then he just dropped it and moved on. But that's a true story about Snake. Of course, he was back around 2 o'clock, you know, when the bars closed. And there was a lot of good things about Kenny. He never brushed a little kid off that wanted an autograph or anyone that wanted him to make an appearance, and for any kind of event, he never turned him down. If he could do it, he would do it. And it's just a shock. You guys have no information other than what he died from, do you?
No, just the initial report just came out that he had passed away, and that came out about an hour ago.
Uh-huh.
Pete. So there's no true detail as of yet.
Yeah, Pete, with Kenny, I mean, you go back to, I mean, the team that you and Kenny both were on. I mean, there was a lot of great players, a lot of strong personalities. And to be the quarterback of a team like that, you have to have kind of really a unique skill set to be able to be a leader of a team like that. And Kenny had to have a unique ability to be able to lead a team like that.
Well, you believed in him. You get in a huddle and he had that kind of southern twang to him, and he said, "Damn guys," he says, "you just give me one more minute, we can get this, we can get it." You know, and shit, guys believed. Oops, excuse me, but guys believed in him.
Yeah.
You know, they believed in him, and he was a true leader. He was. Probably one of the guttiest, you know. And he always played with two bad legs and two bad knees. He didn't have a lot of finesse to him, or wasn't a scrambler or any type of quarterback of that nature. But he was smart. He had good football intelligence, and he knew. When he spotted a weakness, he jumped all over it. And but he was a guy that just always in charge, and nobody talked in a huddle, and he would jump at guys. When he was in the huddle, he was a true boss. Nobody talked, and you know, we had, like you said, a lot of personalities: Upshaw and Shell and Casper and Blendenkamp, Branch. You know, a lot of lot of great, but we all believed in him, and he certainly was a true Raider, you know, in every way, and just a great guy too. He would do anything for you, and I just can't believe it. You know, it's we've certainly lost a lot of those guys off that team, and guys like Tatum and Ben Davidson, and you know, a lot of good foot, Marv Hubbard just recently, and a lot of great football players, and you know, it's just hard. But we're all going to do that someday.
Pete, we really appreciate you coming on short notice, and sorry you had to hear about it from us, but we appreciate your thoughts, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Pete Banaszek joining us as Kenny Stabler has passed away today. Pete Banaszek, former analyst on postgame here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. Tony Baselli's entrance when we return. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Back inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli is here now. And our thanks to Pete Banaszek for joining us on short notice to talk about his former Raiders roommate, in fact, Kenny Stabler, who passed away.
That was a great team, by the way. I mean, a great team. I mean, you think of some of the great players that were on that team. I mean, it's just unbelievable what Al Davis was able to assemble talent-wise with that football team. And not only just talent-wise on the field, I mean, the coaching staff. I mean, John Madden? I mean, are you kidding me? You know, and Al Davis always said that he thought that John Madden was the greatest, most passionate coach he'd ever been around. You're talking about a guy who's been around football for a long time in Al Davis.
So our thanks to Pete for coming on. And you hear him shook up. He had not heard the news until Joe originally called him. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Old traffic.
How was the fourth for you guys, by the way?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. I didn't blow any fingers off.
I was just going to say, I was really going to make a smart-aleck comment, but
I retired from fireworks displays.
Did you really?
Yeah.
This is the first year in a long time I haven't done it. It was interesting. I got a phone call from the New York Times today asking me about JPP's finger and what, like, how it would affect pass rushing and playing against something like that. And I said, first of all, I have no clue. But every medical report I've heard is that if you're going to lose a finger, the index is not that big a deal because you can get grip strength and everything. Some doctor rip.
You know, Ronnie Lott.
That was his pinky.
Played without a finger. In fact, he had it amputated in the playoffs.
The pinky, though, a little different. And so, anyway.
But I mean, still, I mean, it's, you know, it changes the way you do things. I mean, you know, Ronnie said, look, it took me a while to get used to not having it there. He said, you know, you would just instinctively react like it was there. And he said it took a while to train your body that it wasn't there.
I can imagine. I mean, but it's not like he's trying to catch a ball or anything. And the other thing that guy asked me, which I found, I wanted to laugh. Actually, I think I did laugh at him. Is he's like, you know, is this, you know, use of fireworks something new? And is that why, is it something new for NFL players to start participating in fireworks? And that's why I said, I kind of laughed. I said, well, I'm not sure about anyone else, but I started when I was about 6 years old.
Yeah, and what does football have anything to do with
holding
fireworks?
Bottle rockets and throwing them?
Been doing dangerous fireworks every year until this year because I got home from vacation, was tired, went to bed. And did no fireworks, but as of last year, I'm not going to say where I was because I'm sure it was illegal. We were letting off the big mortars and lighting the fuse and scrambling for cover as these things blew off. And I said, listen, I think it's a coincidence that two NFL players, it happened this time. But every year, nationwide, people lose fingers around fireworks.
Or get burns or whatever.
Or if you're in Maine, you get your head blown off because you put a mortar on top of your head because I think you probably have drinking too much. And that's even sadder because I'm pretty sure.
Think that has something to do with it?
Yeah. My point is, It's not some new phenomenon that all of a sudden people are getting hurt because of fireworks. There's a reason they're illegal in almost all states. One, fire hazard. Two, personal hazard. And there's a reason every year in every state, everyone breaks the law and people lose limbs and sometimes die. Or lose appendages, I should say.
You you mentioned something about a doctor who is talking about the fingers. Well, it's David Chow, who has 17 years of experience as an NFL team head physician at Pro Football Doc on Twitter. But he put out a ranking of finger importance to a defensive end. Here's his ranking. Let's see if you agree, Jeff.
Thumb's number one.
Thumb is one. Mm-hmm. The ring finger, two. The pinky, three. That's the fourth and fifth most important. Fourth and fifth fingers are the most important for power. And the middle finger is four. The index finger is the fifth and least important to a pass rush.
How do you know?
Grip. I mean, thumber's number one because, you know, it's a opposite appendage, you know, so you can grip.
Opposable thumbs are nice to have.
Exactly.
Yes, as humans. Yeah,
a pinky, to me, no. I mean, when you grab or, you know,
your pinky actually grips harder than your grip, squeeze them tight.
I'm trying to, but pinky won't close all the way.
Well, that's
the
normal pinkies.
You got to play around it.
So, but I mean, I can't
just
imagine playing without, you know, ring finger.
Why would you just cut that off?
Finger,
it's not, it doesn't work anyways. Yeah.
So,
kind of weird looking.
I don't know if I can't imagine pinky number two.
Three. It's number three. Index is number two.
Yeah, I don't know. to me, you lose any finger. I mean, it's.
Anything besides
the
thumb
is
going to be no good.
But I mean, if I'm going to sacrifice, if I'm going to say, hey, look, somebody tells me, hey, look, you've got to give a finger up.
I'm going pinky.
One of them, I'm saying take the pinky.
I'm going pinky, Padu.
So if you get caught cheating in Vegas, say
pinky,
take the pinky.
And if we
and make
do
it quick,
can we just do the top half?
Don't just, above the knuckle.
You know, I mean, if you want to take the whole thing, it's fine.
I don't think you have a choice in that matter.
Well, I hope I don't get caught cheating in cards.
That's a good idea. Don't do that. And C.J. Wilson, the cornerback, backup cornerback.
That's
Bucks,
terrible.
Has
he lost
two fingers, right?
Which ones did he lose?
I want to say it's like the index and middle.
Well, I mean, that's going to be hard to catch the ball.
Think about your fingers, right? Okay.
How are you going to catch the ball with no
– You got one to point with. Okay, one to point with. Okay, one to give the bird sign to you.
You're number one.
Okay, and then you got a ring finger. Mm-hmm. Okay, and pinky – I mean, anybody that wears a pinky ring to me, I mean, you know –
JP has one.
I have
exactly.
two.
Cool, yeah, but, really. You know, so, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm going to sacrifice the pinky. Take it.
So, as a pass rusher, how's he going to get back? I mean, how long does this take to get back from amputated finger?
Well, they said, actually, that he has a fractured thumb will take longer than the amputated mm-hmm. finger.
I mean, Ronnie Lott, when he had the end of his finger
that week.
Cut off, he was playing that week, you know, so.
It's a different animal, though.
So, man. I mean, I can't, you know. The bone, you know, what, 6 to 8 weeks typically to heal?
Yeah, the cracked bone's going to be worse for him.
And
the reality is what do the Giants do with the franchise? He hasn't signed his franchise deal yet.
Well, they pulled it back, right?
No, they pulled back the long-term offer that they had on the table. The $14.8 million franchise tag is still there.
They can still pull it back, though, if they like.
They still can, but they have not done that. But if they do,
he's a free agent. With nine fingers.
Well, or eight and a half, what? Whatever.
And he's, eight and a half.
Oh, yeah, or nine. Well, one's broken, so.
That'll heal. You know, and what would he get on the open market? I mean, he may not get a lot now. You know, I mean, somebody would probably give him a – well, wait a minute, let me change that. Somebody would pay him if he gets on the market as a free agent.
Well, I'll say this. If I was him, I'd go sign that $15 million tender. But here's the –
If he's a free agent to the Jaguars, take a shot at him.
Absolutely. Why not?
I don't know. Yeah, sure. Here's the thing, though. The Giants, even if he signs it, the Giants can still put him on the non-football injury list and not pay him.
If he was under contract.
Let's say he says, I'll sign the tender for $15 million. Now he's under contract. They immediately can put him on the non-football injury list and not pay him a dime until he's healthy.
Which he would be healthy for the opener, so.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Right,
that's just interesting. It's a shame for both those guys. I mean, we joke about it, and we all did fireworks, and you know, I don't know about you guys. I've had those little lady fingers blow up in my hands, and it hurts and stings pretty bad. And but never the major stuff. But we've played with it, and it's unfortunate because now you're talking about guys' careers.
wasn't there a pitcher? Alfonseca had six fingers, I think, a baseball pitcher.
So you're saying he could afford?
He could have lost one. He could have.
He could play with fireworks and not worry about it.
I'm just saying.
That's what you're saying. I don't think that's really appropriate in this
I'm
time.
Just say,
I don't think it's.
I thought it was pretty
appropriate, actually. Insensitive to the
not,
two players
not as many,
who lost fingers.
Anyway, all right. We'll be back in just a moment and talk about the Jaguars training camp schedule. It's been announced. 10 practices open to the public. Get more in 2015. Become a Jaguars season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans of the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or speak to an account manager today at 633-2000. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Subpar read on my part.
No, not bad.
Seven. Generous.
Yeah.
Oh.
The Russian judge over here, Baselli, does not agree.
4.5.
Plenty to get to. The Jaguars this week announced the training camp schedule. 10 practices.
It's not really. Let's back up. It's not really training camp. It's like the practice schedule. There's no two-a-days. It's 10. It's
you don't have to keep being mad about it.
I'm just jealous. I'm not mad. I'm jealous. There's two different emotions there. Mad would be like I'm angry. I'm not angry.
Well, you're always angry.
You can get angry quick.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. We can make you angry.
I want that schedule as a football player.
No, angry suits you.
No, I'm jealous. I've been angry, but I'm jealous there.
July
30th. I want that schedule.
The players report, veterans report July 30th. The rookies, quarterbacks, first-year players are the Monday of that week, the 27th.
And injured.
Everybody on the field and injured, mm-hmm. Yes. And everybody on the field the first time, Friday, July 31st. That one is open to season ticket members only. And then the following nine practices after that are open, including one at Mandarin High School on August 3rd and the scrimmage here at Everbank Field on August 8th. So getting back out in the community again, doing
it's
a game
amazing,
of high school
It's play. Amazing how quickly they get to the scrimmage. Remember the old days, you'd have like 3 weeks practice before you scrimmage, and then you go – And then or 2 weeks. And
no,
then
it was about the same.
A week?
Yeah, it was about the same because you always – I mean, the NFL schedule has pretty much remained the same as far as training camp because you would always open up training camp 2 weeks prior to the first preseason game. That was always the
– No.
Yeah, absolutely it was. Now, back when Tom Coughlin started camp in 95, I mean, he asked people
–
Well, he asked people to volunteer. We had the Hall of Fame game also, so
– Right, but I'm saying – but it was at least – You sure it was only 2 weeks before the first preseason
game? It was like when Tom asked everybody to go to Stevens Point, Wisconsin in 95, he asked guys to be there like 2.5 weeks. Trust me, I didn't go, so I know.
All right, I guess it's always been.
But the mandatory report date was 2 weeks prior to the first preseason game. That's always the way it's been.
Okay, I thought it was earlier. I was wrong.
Mandarin High School will host practice. Was it Bartram Trail last
year? Bartram Park.
Yes. No, Bartram Trail.
Last year,
it was actually Bartram Trail High School.
Awesome.
Park Trail.
Awesome. Showing great turnout, place was packed. I know they had limited parking and kind of had a sign up deal.
What I understand, Mandarin is much bigger place, right?
I wonder
how many. I'm sure that they're going to have something similar to what they had at Bartram Trail, because I mean, just to be able to handle the traffic, you can't just say, "Hey, everybody, come," you know, and then you get 20,000 people there
right.
for
What's wrong with that?
The infrastructure that can't handle it.
That's fine. I'd rather have it overcrowded and crazy and nutty and energy and everything else. Let's go. Bring the band.
No.
Get there early.
Oh, you have to sign up.
Yeah. Jaguars.com/training.
So that's probably good that I don't run it.
Exactly.
Jaguars.com/training camp events. You can register for tickets. You have to do that for all 10 of the open practices. So go on there, register for whatever
practice. You have to get tickets for every practice.
Yeah, you got to register for each one that are open to the public. So that's kind of the new situation now. Also, here's something I want to bring up. Rest versus work. We had a chance to sit down with Blake Bortles today for Jaguars.com for a TV special coming up a little later. He's going to travel a little bit, but he's working some with the receivers and such. What's the balance right now of rest
versus
work for you? Yeah,
you work every day up to training camp. I mean, you take weekends off. But work is – I mean, when I say work, it's not like you're putting an eight-hour day in, but you go get a workout in for an hour and a half, maybe a 3 or 4 days a week, you know, maybe three of them hard conditioning, two of them light conditioning. I mean, total work day, you can probably get everything done in 3 hours and you rest the rest of the day. I mean, I don't think you sit around and do nothing for 6 weeks before or 5 weeks before training camp. I think you work out 5 days a week.
Well, it's a little different, too, I think, when you're six weeks out. It's not like you're a boxer, you know, where you're just – I mean, you're just hammering it. You know,
no.
Because I mean, boxers, I mean, they train
10 hours a day. Right?
They train super intense, yeah. You know, leading up to the event. I mean, with a football player, at least my philosophy has always been that you slowly increase and then you reach a certain point, and then it's just you're work, doing maintenance work to where you don't want to lose what you've gained and you don't want to lose any of the conditioning level, the strength level. You know, so you're kind of trying to monitor it without losing anything to maintain. But at the same time, you know, not many players leave here on the last mini camp practice and have hit the peak of their training yet. Some guys still will work and go hard at it for another couple weeks and then start to hit the maintenance period of their workouts.
But I mean, now the off-season program isn't as long as it was when we were, because you started earlier back when we played. But I mean, I worked out hard the last, before training camp. When I say hard, though, it's only 3 hours. It's not like you're doing double days. It's not like, but you are keeping, to Jeff's point, I don't know if I was trying to get stronger or not, but I was lifting heavy weight and trying to be strong and healthy and rehabbing any minor nicks and aches and pains, nicks and bruises, whatever. And then I'm running hard because the harder I run, the better shape I'm in, the easier training camp's going to be.
Yeah, you're running, you'll typically bump it up a little bit.
But and I mean, three hours a day, you could be done with everything.
But I think, you know, yeah, absolutely. But I think the one thing that players probably neglect more than anything during the downtime is flexibility, you know, because I mean that's usually a pretty strong focus of the NFL programs throughout the off season, and I think a lot of players that have gotten into any type of activity, where it be yoga or anything like that, that can really work on a player's flexibility, I think is key, because you know, I mean, back in the day, and you go, okay, I'm gonna go run today.
You did a lot of yoga.
You go down and touch your toes a couple times. Well, I never did, but it was something that I would do now.
When's the last time you did yoga?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, really? You're a yoga guy? You do the hot yoga or just cold yoga?
I'll do anything.
The downward dog? Is that a move?
A what?
Downward dog.
I don't know what they're called, JP.
Oh, come on. You're the one doing it. First of all, you're lying then. You have not done yoga if you don't know what a downward – that's like the most basic move that they're calling out in the yoga studio.
Downward dog.
Yeah.
Everybody does a downward dog.
I don't know what they are. I just – whatever the instructor does,
I do. I think you're lying.
The twisting spine snapper. That's one, too.
No, I've never heard that one. The downward dog, everyone's heard of if you've been into a studio, which I've never been into. But
when did you start doing yoga, Jeff?
I mean, I don't do it like every week, but I've been doing it probably every couple weeks, every once a month. So, I mean, it's actually pretty good.
For how long? That was the question.
How long have I been doing it? About January.
Oh, so it's a new fad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't call it a fad. Just something different.
Well, it's a fad if you stop doing it.
That's one of the things I think that one thing that I always, when I was playing, I always tried to do was something different. You know, I used to play racquetball. Would love playing racquetball as opposed to basketball because racquetball was your quick movement skills. With less likely chance to sprain an ankle like you would on a basketball court.
I like basketball.
Yeah, but you have some schmuck that wants to, say that he swatted Tony Baselli and he undercuts him or, you know, lands up underneath you and you jump. Yes. I mean, but I used to love playing racquetball. I would play tennis. I mean, anything to work
movement skills. Tennis is a good one.
Without being at risk.
Sand volleyball?
No, I didn't like volleyball.
I like sand volleyball on the beach.
Sand's bad for your feet.
No, it's great for your ankles. It strengthens your ankles and your joints.
What are you talking about? Bad for your feet.
Yeah.
You're on a roll.
You're
tonight,
wrong. Number one, you're wrong about that.
That's why you remember a couple years ago.
It strengthens your ankles. It's good for
you. They built a sand pit for athletes to run in. And then they found out that it's actually
who found out?
Not
and what
good
study is
for
this?
The athlete's feet.
I disagree 100%.
A sand pit.
So
JP,
have
you ever heard of that before?
No.
No.
So you wouldn't do yoga on the beach then?
I don't want to get all sandy.
Bad for your feet, too, I guess.
First of all, sand volleyball, jeez. Running on the beach and sand volleyball, it's great for your ankles and strengthening the joint. The instability, proprioception, Jeff. Come on, you remember those big words.
What was that one?
Proprioceptive.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, that. Whatever he said. Also, the NFL and Tottenham Hotspur today in the English Premier League earlier this week announcing that they've decided on a 10-year partnership to play two NFL games a year in the new stadium. It's going to open in 2018.
60,000 people.
In London, North London. How about that?
I think it's great.
And it's not the only stadium that'll be used. They can use other stadiums in that market, including Wembley. At that point,
well, they're still gonna have Wembley. They're not gonna. I mean, with Wembley holding so many people,
was it 85 around there?
Yeah, for the NFL, I think.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, once, yeah, for soccer, it's like over that.
It's 90, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
Tottenham's only 60.
The question mark is that with this new stadium they're building, is the transportation in place to be able to get the people there? I mean, because with Wembley, it was amazing. One of the most impressive things to me is all of a sudden you'd have 85,000 people there for the game.
Well, London's all the tubes everywhere.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I get it.
When a game was over, you know, like you leave an NFL game and there's, you know, people are slowly filtering out, you know, the people are driving. After the
gone.
You come out of the stadium at Wembley, you know, to the team buses, there's nobody there.
Right. Have you ever been on the tube in London?
No.
Did you ever get on the tube?
Mm-mm.
I've been on the tube before. It is, I'll tell you what, it
easy.
Is efficient, easy, point to point. I mean, it's really, and I guarantee you at Tottenham there will be a tube station. Guarantee it. Yeah. I remember we went there years ago and went to Wimbledon. I took my wife to Wimbledon for our 10-year anniversary. So 10 years ago, because it was 20 this year. And the first, we had tickets, center court, like 3 days in a row or whatever. And the first day, like typical tourists, we took a car service to the Wimbledon. It took like an hour and a half because of traffic.
To go, what, 5 miles?
It wasn't very far at
10
all.
10 miles.
And we finally get there, and the idiot cab driver at the end of it tells us, says, you know you could have taken the tube right there. And I said, well, thanks for the heads up now. After I paid him like £100 to get there. And for the rest of the week, though, we took the tube there and back, and it was
easy.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outstanding. So, I guarantee you at Tottenham, Wembley, or any of the major facilities, they have the tube set up.
Let's just hope that the underground drivers are not on strike like they are today. They started a strike today in London. So
the tube
is not running at all.
Wow.
In London today.
That's shutting some things down.
That would be bad news. So everybody has to walk or take a bus.
Or a cab.
Or a cab or not go anywhere.
That place can't function without.
I mean, we've been around there. I mean, the traffic is atrocious trying to get around that
place.
That's
with people using the tube.
What?
I said, and that's with people using the
tube.
Oh,
that's with
people using
it. I thought you said something else. I'm like, never mind.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's go.
Jaguars 3-packs are on sale now. Get the best prices and best locations. Pick any 3 home games and choose from 5 different locations at Everbank. Prices start at $99. Visit jaguars.com/tickets. Or call 633-2000. We'll go around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Got to mention, guys, this Saturday, the Sunset 5K and Memorable Moments 1 Mile Fun Run in downtown Jacksonville. It's the first year race, a fundraiser for Caitlin's Closet.
Yeah, the Brunel's daughter.
That's right. The organization recycles old dresses and clothes and gives them to folks in need. Caitlin Brunel, the daughter of Mark Brunel, started that organization a few years ago. CC Sunset. The number 5K.com for
race good.
Information.
It'll be a good event. It's a good organization. Something she actually started on her own and has given a bunch of dresses away to young ladies that can't afford them or for other reasons to go to prom and do things. So it's a cool thing that she started, and it'll be fun. I think I'm going to go down there. I'm not running.
Okay? You're going to run?
No.
Tony.
No.
Why aren't you running? 5K. What's your 5K time right now?
Zero. Because I'm not going.
I mean, the paper on the wall says you run triathlons.
Yeah, that was before the two fake hips.
Oh. What's your 5K time, Jeff?
I don't run.
Yeah. I mean, no. It's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, I'll walk maybe my 5-year-old daughter.
See, the problem with me trying to run one day is that then I can't walk for the following 14
days. Yeah, it's not
days.
So much the day of doing it.
You need yoga.
If I could get what
if you did a downward
before
dog?
Before the 5K?
What if you did a downward dog right after the
it'd be tough.
Right after the 5K.
Stretch it out.
Tough.
Stretch it, yeah, come on. You
give me some of the old school medicine and then I'll do the 5K. And then definitely give me some of the old school medicine.
No, I don't need it. I don't need the old school medicine to do the run. I just need it for the 2 weeks after the run.
I'd need it for both.
It's time for a 360-degree look around the National Football League presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. One player taken in the supplemental draft today. The Rams selected Clemson tackle Isaiah Battle in the fifth round, so they forego their fifth-round pick this coming regular NFL draft. He's had a couple suspensions, a citation for marijuana possession, and the Rams just continue to bring in offensive linemen. Four offensive linemen draft picks. This is a fifth for them. Redoing their line. What do you think of the supplemental draft? Doesn't happen a lot.
No, because if you look at the history of the supplemental draft, there's been very little success with supplemental picks. I mean, that's history, and it's hard to ignore history.
Josh Gordon.
Most of the players that come out in the supplemental draft have issues at college, and that's why they're coming out to be in the supplemental
draft. Some of them are good players, though.
Oh, there's some of them that are great players, but all of them have a risk that are associated with them for some reason or another. Very few of them are in the supplemental draft for good reasons. And it doesn't surprise me that the Rams picked them. The Rams, with Les Snead and Jeff Fisher, have not been shy or scared about taking a risk on a player that or a prospect that has some issues in his background. I mean, they've been doing that for ever since Les Snead took over as the general manager.
Brian Bosworth.
And it hasn't paid any dividends for him. I mean, you look at some of the draft picks that were – it's not very often that a Chris Carter comes along, okay? And Chris Carter had issues. And Chris Carter was able to work through them and become a Hall of Fame player. Mm-hmm. Not very many players have issues that they are able to put behind them to move forward and become a great person and a great athlete. Usually it follows them. It's the old saying, you know, the zebra can't take his stripes off, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Or is the zebra can't change his
or change it, whatever, yeah.
I don't know if we're taking them off. I think we'll just change them.
However you want to put it.
Other examples, Brian Bosworth in 87.
And people have called him a bust. The guy had major shoulder problems.
Yeah, he was a good player until he got hurt. Yeah.
Brian Bosworth was a great player. Probably the most dominant, one of the most dominant defensive players.
It took Bo Jackson to make him look
well. Well, the reality is, listen, he has two things that are going against – I mean, three things. One, he was so outlandish and over the top. There was a target on his back. Two, he got hurt, and so his career ended earlier than it needed to. And when I say early, 3 years early. I mean, he only played like 3 years. And four, I mean, and finally, the third thing is, on the biggest stage, Bo Jackson embarrassed him.
Which happens to everyone.
Let's wait a second. Bo Jackson, if he doesn't get hurt, might be one of the greatest running backs ever to play the game of football.
Every player, and I don't care if they're a Hall of Fame player.
Everyone's been embarrassed
on the
football.
Has been embarrassed at some point. Yes. But there was so much attention on Brian's career.
It got blown out of proportion.
It got absolutely blown
out of proportion, I should say.
So Josh Gordon was actually the last supplemental draft pick.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But he has issues, and they didn't go away.
That's right. And you can tell what the Browns are going through right now. The commissioner's ruling on the appeal for Tom Brady for the suspension could come soon, he says. Do you think it's shortened at all? Is the suspension shortened from four down to two or three?
Yeah, it's good. It's probably going to be shortened. But my issue is that what's the holdup on Greg Hardy? You know? I mean, Greg Hardy, look.
I want to make him suffer.
Totally wrong what he did. But he has to be basically governed by the old rules that were in place prior to the new standards that the NFL put in place, and the NFL they're dragging their feet on it. And to me, that's ridiculous.
Can't stand what he did. It's ridiculous, outlandish, irresponsible, you know, disgusting, despicable, whatever adjective you want to use. The reality is, you got a rule under the rules of the CBA at the time that he did,
which is two games.
So. We might not like it, but that's the rule.
Yeah, just
get over with it. Let's go.
Make a decision. Move on. And whether that decision is that if you're going to try to do it under the new rules, do it now, and then he has time to appeal it and to take whatever course of action that he needs to take, whether it be an appeal or whether it be some type.
He's already appealing it right now.
Well, what I'm saying is though, if they end up saying, okay, it's going to be six games, he can take the NFL to court.
Right, but, I mean, it's a long problem.
You got to give the player time to react. Just make the decision and move
on. What are they waiting for? I mean, I think the three of us could sit down and make decisions based on hearing the evidence of what the rule is. Look at the CBA. This is what we do. Two games. Sorry. Man, we messed up. We should have a better CBA and the players' organization. And I'd come out if I was the commissioner and say, listen, I don't like it. What he did is just unbelievable to me, and I can't understand how a man could hit a woman and did what he did. But under the CBA, which the players negotiated with us, it's two games, the players and the owners are responsible for this not being harsh enough, but there's nothing we can do. We've addressed it moving forward. And, it is
and move it is. On.
Move on. And the Tom Brady thing, I'm at the point, I don't care. I don't care what happens. Let him play, suspend him forever. Just do something so we can talk about something else. I mean,
they got to take the focus off the bad.
Golly.
You know, just move on. And I think that's why the NFL is going to react in a much quicker fashion with Tom Brady, because they just want to go ahead and put
what
it
do they do?
Him.
I think it goes to two games probably. So, and then but here's the problem.
Just make a decision.
If it goes to two games, Tom's going to sue the NFL. He's going to take it to court, and it's not going away.
And he would play week three, right, if it goes down to two against the Jags.
Well, if he goes to court, he could get – I mean, there's so many things that could happen. If he goes to court, or who knows what happens and where it goes.
J.J. Watt.
Let me ask one more thing before we go to J.J. Watt. Jeff, you can answer this. I don't understand. I thought under the CBA, if this is what's bargained, collectively bargained, doesn't the player forego the right to take it to court because the union has collectively bargained what the process is for suspensions and fines and everything else? So I don't understand how then on top of that you can take it outside what you've collectively bargained to the courts.
You always have the right to take it to court.
But isn't that what the CBA is supposed to do?
You
can take it to court.
Right. It's nauseating. Let's go. We'll move on.
J.J. Watt. Some think he's nauseating, too, here in Jacksonville. Ranked number one in the top 100 players on NFL Network, a player-only vote, of course. Is that the right vote?
Well, I don't know who's voting in that.
NFL players.
I mean, well, supposedly. You know, but the NFL players, a lot of them have come out and said, nobody's ever asked me.
Yeah, I think it's a make-believe list.
I don't know if I necessarily buy that. But the one thing I will tell you, J.J. Watt is by far the best defensive player in football. And there's no debating that.
Best defensive player, did you say, or best player?
Defensive player.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But to me, you can't have a defensive player as number one in the rankings. I mean, to me, it's got to be a quarterback. Yeah, I mean, take your pick. I mean, you can argue who quarterback is.
I think we're not saying most valuable player because it would be the quarterback. The best player could be just the best football player.
No, I agree with you, but I mean,
so that J.J. Watt, I mean, I think you're splitting hairs. I mean, I think you could argue that Aaron Rodgers is the best football player. But I think you could argue the best football player is J.J. Watt. Now, if you're talking most valuable player, there's about five people I'm putting in front of J.J. Watt. Because with all that he did and all that how amazing seasons he's had the last 2 years, they went 1-2-15 right. Or 2-14 and 7-9 or whatever it was. I mean, so let me tell you what. If Aaron Rodgers is on those teams, they win more games. If Tom Brady's on that team, they win more games.
Which quarterback would you
put? If Peyton Manning's on that team, they win more games. I mean, you could go – if Drew Brees is on that team, they win more games. If Ben Roethlisberger's on that team, they win more games. So there's five just without even thinking.
Who is the top quarterback on that list? Aaron?
Aaron Rodgers was the best quarterback.
Yeah, number two player.
He's the best quarterback in the league, I think. Tom Brady's number two.
I mean, what he was able to do last year in the playoffs when he was hurt.
Here's another one. Andrew Luck, I'd put in front of J.J. Watt is more valuable.
Yeah.
If Andrew Luck's on the Houston Texans, they win more games than they do with J.J. Watt.
How many general managers would trade away J.J. Watt for Andrew Luck?
Everyone.
No,
all
30 of them.
No, 30.
Yeah.
Or 32, however many teams there are. I can't remember. 32 teams now, right? Is that what we got?
Yes.
Yeah.
32.
Right. 32.
Yeah, 32. I mean, there's not one GM. Listen, I'll just say this, with all due respect, there's not a player on this roster right now that Dave Caldwell wouldn't trade for Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck. No one. There's not one person. In fact, he might trade all of us, plus, you know, the toll. I mean, anyone. I mean, this is a –
Like me, you, and JP?
Yeah. Oh.
I get a biscuit and a six-pack.
I'm saying, but he just added in his, like, extra.
And a headache.
Because here's the thing. Quarterback – I mean, go look at the roster of the Indianapolis Colts, what Andrew Luck's been able to do.
Take him away?
Yeah, I mean, come
They're
on.
Nothing.
I mean, yeah.
Well done, guys. Baselli, Lagerman for Fortunato. This is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.